بسم الله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. The subject of fiqh starts about fasting, page 129. Before going to the subject, I wanted to read one of the ahadith about the importance and benefit of fasting. The hadith is from Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. He said, إنما أمروا بالصوم لكي يعرفوا ألم الجوع والعطش فيستدلوا على فقر الآخرة وليكون الصائم خاشعا دليلا مستكينا مأجورا محتسبا عارفا صابرا على ما أصابه من الجوع والعطش فيستوجب الثواب مع ما فيه من الإمساك عن الشهوات ويكون ذلك واعظا لهم في العاجل ورائضا لهم على أداء ما كلفهم ودليلا لهم في الآجل وليعرفوا شدة مبلغ ذلك على أهل الفقر والمسكنة في الدنيا فيؤدوا إليهم ما افترض الله لهم في أموالهم. This hadith about Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam has mentioned many points about benefit or philosophy of fasting for the Muslims and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed fasting. First of all, if you take the Holy Quran, it says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. It's from Surah Baqarah. All the believers, the fasting was decreed upon you as it was decreed for those before you, so that you might be pious. Because this is very rough or general translation of the Holy Quran. You can get the exact word-to-word translation from the books of translation of Quran. So the Holy Quran mentioned one very important point, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you might be more pious. This means fasting will help the believer to be more pious. And taqwa is the main reason for decree of fasting for the mu'minin. And also it shows that fasting was decreed on previous people. Now whether previous nations or maybe the previous prophets before our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, I mean that different hadith will show different things, but it was, however, the fasting was decreed before, and it is also decreed upon the Muslims to fast. So now the taqwa itself, definition of taqwa from attaqa yattaqi, to protect ourselves from doing something haram which displeases Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or simply they translate as to fear Allah. Fear Allah from doing any sin. So now what will help for taqwa means fasting has many good points which will help to make a mu'min more pious. And here this hadith is giving some of these points. Imam alayhi salam says, Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, إنما أمروا بالصوم لكي يعرفوا ألم الجوع والعطش فيستدلوا على فقر الآخرة. So they have been ordered to fast, mean the Muslims have been ordered to fast, so that they might know the pain of hunger and thirst, and that will be an example for them for the need in akhirat. So one of the points here is to suffer from hunger and thirst. And this also suffering in dunya will help you to remember your position in akhirat. In akhirat, naturally the people are so helpless, so poor, that only mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to help them. Otherwise they have no other will or no other way to find any help. So if they feel suffer, they feel hunger and thirst, they remember akhirat. Here, by the way, just to mention it, from psychology and physiology of the human being, the human being usually, to understand the things, he needs to feel them and to experiment them. It's not sufficient for man to believe theoretically unless he undergo through that exercise. If somebody who is always satisfied, always food and drink available for him, and he never felt hunger, you talk to him about suffering of those who are thirsty because of no water, or if the water is polluted water in remote areas of Muslim countries, and those who are suffering of hunger when the children have no milk to drink, when the people have no money to buy food, and gradually they get malnutrition, underweight, and great ratio of them ultimately will die, a great percentage of them will get certain sicknesses and diseases because of malnutrition. And he cannot imagine that easily, that what is the suffering, unless he himself undergo that experiment. And fasting is actually helping him to understand that, and if he understands that and he cares for the Muslims, naturally he will be more pious, a better believer. So that is in dunya, and again it is another preaching for a mu'min for akhirat. فَيَسْتَدِلُّ عَلَىٰ فَقْرِ الْآخِرَةِ, and that is a proof for them to know about their need in akhirat. And also Imam Ad, وَلِيَكُونَ الصَّائِمْ خَاشِعًا, the man who fasts will be humble, humiliated, and will feel the need toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ma'jur, naturally Allah will reward him, will give him thawab, muhtasiban. I mean, he trusts Allah that Allah will give him his reward. Arifan, he has knowledge, good knowledge. Sabiran, has patience. Ala ma asabahu min al-ju'i wal-atash, he tolerates what he is feeling of hunger and thirst. So because of that, فَيَسْتَوْجِ بِالثَّوَابِ, so he deserves to get thawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another point added with Imam alayhi salam, مَعَمَا فِي مِنَ الْإِمْسَاكِ عَنِ الشَّهَوَاتِ, again it is a abstaining from self-desires. And another point added, وَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ وَعَظًا لَهُمْ فِي الْعَاجِلِ, and this will be as a preacher for them in this world, I mean this time. وَرَائِضًا لَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَدَاءِ مَا كَلَّفَهُمْ, and again an exercise for them to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to do. وَدَلِيلًا لَهُمْ فِي الْآجِلِ, and a guide for them for the hereafter. وَلِيَعْرِفُوا شِدَّةَ مَبْلَغَ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْفَقْرِ وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, and to know the pain or the suffering of that, I mean of fasting, for the poor and needy people in this world, so that they will give them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed in their money. And then they will give حقوق الشرعية and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should be given to people with their homes or zakat or similar types of charities. So you see here in fasting there are so many benefits, so many good points, and a mu'min should always be encouraged to fast. Of course there are so many hadith about thawab of fasting every month or every certain days in every month of Rajab Sha'ban besides the wajib fasting of Ramadan month. I think this much is sufficient, just an introduction. We come to the fiqh subject. Fasting means abstaining from the things that will be explained from the moment of Fajr to Maghrib with the intention of Qurbat. Now here is explaining what is definition of fasting. Is fasting only abstaining from food and drink? That no, naturally there are many other things. So he said abstaining from all things that will be explained later on. Again, abstaining from which time to which time, say from Fajr or dawn time till Maghrib. And then now if somebody who even may not be a Muslim, he is not having food and he has no water and he did not do anything which contradicts fast and kept fasting from dawn till Maghrib, will that be accepted from him? Say no, because there should be niyat, intention, that I do fast qurbatan Allah ta'ala for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here there is three portions in this definition of fasting. The first portion is abstaining from all things which will nullify the fast. Secondly, the timing is from Fajr to Maghrib. Thirdly, with the intention, with the niyat of making this fasting qurbatan ilallah ta'ala. Issue 326. In the month of Ramadan, on the first night, that is to say, the night preceding the first day, one can make the niyat to fast the whole month and remain with that niyat until the month ends and repeat the niyat for each day. Or one can make the niyat for each day separately. And in wajib fasts that have a specified date other than in Ramadan, one must make a separate niyat for each day, whether they are few or many. Now, how to do niyat of fasting of Ramadan month? You say in Ramadan month, from the first night, which is night preceding the first day of Ramadan month, or let us say night of last day of Sha'ban, if somebody has niyat, has intention in heart that he is going to fast all the month of Ramadan, that is sufficient. Now some say it is better that niyat should be again renewed every night. So in every night of Ramadan, I renew niyat that tomorrow I am going to fast. And one also can have niyat for every day on the night before, that every day he said niyat, I will fast for tomorrow. So here, if you have one niyat at the beginning of the month, that is sufficient. Or if you have niyat every night, that every preceding night, that tomorrow I will fast again, that is sufficient. And it might be better to have niyat at the beginning of the month that you are going to fast all the month, and then renew your niyat, or just remember that tomorrow is also of Ramadan month and you are going to fast. That is why I say at the footnote, repeat the niyat for each day during each preceding night. So one niyat at the beginning of the month, according to some of the ulama, that is sufficient. According to some, it said at the beginning of the month is not sufficient, it should be renewed niyat at every night before. Now if it is not month of Ramadan and somebody wants to have niyat to fast, and it is a wajib fast on a specified day other than Ramadan month, so he has to have one niyat initially on the preceding night, that tomorrow I am going to fast because it is 3rd of Sha'ban or 15th of Sha'ban or 25th of Rajab or whatever it is, so he has the niyat for that. Now here, one point to be added which is, may not be elaborated more. The timing of the niyat of Ramadan month, we say it is from the night before. I mean before dawn time. So if somebody intentionally before dawn time did not have a niyat of fasting, he was shaky, he was doubtful whether I will fast or I will not, till dawn started, then now his fasting is batil because there was no niyat, and the niyat should be one night, I mean before dawn time. But for qada of Ramadan month, if somebody has to have qada of Ramadan and he is awake in the morning without niyat of fasting, before midday, before dhuhr time, if he decides to fast as qada, then his niyat is okay. So the time for niyat of qada will extend till dhuhr time. Now if you want to have a mustahab fasting, suppose he had no niyat to fast this day and he was awake in the morning, by chance he did not take his breakfast, did not take a drink water and did not do anything which nullify his fasting. He was very busy in a job or he was in a desert or wherever he is, for a reason or another he did not have anything which will break his fast. And it continued till the dhuhr time, until afternoon. And there is maybe 1 hour or half an hour before Maghrib, still he is abstaining from anything. And he said, why not to fast this day? Just qurbatan Allah Ta'ala is a mustahab fast. Then say it is okay, because for a mustahab day, the time of niyat will continue till before Maghrib. So if 1 minute before sunset he has the niyat that I will fast, in case he did not do anything which will nullify his fasting, his niyat is alright and his fast is alright and he will get thawab for it. No, qada till midday. And that is intentionally. Now if somebody was unaware, unintentionally, he slept, he was supposed to awake for Sahari and have a niyat, for example, or he was not aware that it is Ramadan and so on, and in the morning he realized in Ramadan month, then again his niyat is till midday. So here, you know, four possibilities for niyat. For Ramadan month, which is wajib, niyat should be, if it is intentionally, should be before dawn time. For qada of Ramadan month, the time for niyat can be before dhuhr. For mustahab fasting, the niyat can be done before Maghrib. And if unintentionally he forgot the niyat for Ramadan month, or he was not aware, then the time is also till dhuhr. Again, here one mas'ala about the day of doubt. Don't see is mentioned here. The day of doubt means it is doubtful whether it is last day of Sha'ban or it is first day of Ramadan. Now, what will be the niyyah? Now, to say that I will fast Ramadan, it is haram if he doesn't know it is Ramadan. It is actually haram. Not only it is batil, but it is haram. Because he doesn't know that it is Ramadan. How can he say tomorrow is Ramadan without proof? So here they say in the day of doubt, when he is not sure that the moon is sighted or not, he has to, if he wants to fast, he has to fast with the intention of last day of Sha'ban. Now if it becomes Ramadan, then his niyat automatically will change to Ramadan. I mean, he will change his niyat if he knows. If he doesn't know, then his fasting is correct, accepted. I mean, if at middle of the day he hear that it was the moon was sighted, then he should change his niyat to Ramadan month. But if he fasted all that day, and after 2-3 days they told him that the moon was sighted for that day in other places, for example, and he did niyat of Sha'ban, it was not niyat of Ramadan, but still his fasting is correct. So that is the niyat. He cannot have niyat of Ramadan because it is not definite and he cannot say if it is Ramadan. According to Ayatollah Gulfaygani, says he can have the niyyah that if it is Ramadan, then it is Ramadan. If it is Sha'ban, it is Sha'ban. So whatever Allah knows, he can have niyyah of that. Of course, he cannot say Ramadan, but he may say that if it is Ramadan, then it is Ramadan. If it is not Ramadan, then it is a qada or mustahab or whatever thing he can do. But according to other ulama, this is not accepted because they say this is doubt in niyat. Your niyat should be straightforward. You cannot be shaky. If it is Ramadan, then it is Ramadan. If it is not Ramadan, then it is qada or it is mustahab. That means you have not fixed your niyat. According to Ayatollah Gulbaygani, such type of niyat is okay. But according to others, they said no, that is not okay. So practically, the best thing is to have niyat of last day of Sha'ban. This is agreed by ulama. If you have niyat of last day of Sha'ban, if it later on proved to be Ramadan, then automatically it will be Ramadan and your fasting is correct. Qurbatan Allah Ta'ala, of course. No, last day of Sha'ban, Qurbatan Allah Ta'ala. Last day, I mean, it is last day. I mean, the doubt is in the last day. If it is not last day, then it is day 29, 28, then it is from Sha'ban. But here we are saying Yawm al-Shaq. And of course, in the this day of doubt, you can break your fast as well, because it is not approved that Ramadan, and it is not wajib upon you to fast. So you can take food and do not have intention of fasting. If in case in the future approved that day was Ramadan, then you need to do qada of it. There is no kafara. Because it was not approved, so he did not fast it. But if somebody wants to fast, however, if it is from Sha'ban, it is mustahab. And if in case in the future it is approved, then one does not need qada, so he has to have intention that it is last day of Sha'ban. Okay, now we come to issue 327, the things that when fasting one must refrain from are several. No, there are certain wajibat for one who do fasting, he should observe. Actually, there are 9 things, and he's mentioning them now one by one. The first and second, eating and drinking intentionally. Now, eating food or drinking water or juice or any other thing intentionally will nullify the fast. And he put intentionally because if unintentionally someone eats or drinks during the fast, his fast is okay, is not bottled. Somebody forgot that he is fasting and he went and he drank a cup of tea or glass of water, then his fasting is okay because he was not aware of it. It is unintentionally. So eating and drinking will nullify when it is done intentionally. And there is no difference between whether the thing consumed is normally an eating or drinking thing like bread and water, or not normally consumed like air and sand. Now, when you say eating, some may ask, is it eating what is eatable, that is, will break, or eating anything else? Because to eat food or fruit that is eatable, now somebody eats sand or eats little mud, but mud is not regarded as eating material. Will that break the fast or not? You say yes. Eating anything, whether it is eatable or uneatable, it is will break the fast. However little it may be, and even if, for example, a thread or a toothbrush is put in the mouth and is made wet by saliva, then taken out of the mouth and put in the mouth again, and the saliva it is bearing is swallowed, then the fast is batil. So he said eating and drinking of whatever things are small or big in quantity. And he's giving example here that in case you have miswak or toothbrush and it is wet, if you put it in the mouth, the water in it will get mixed with saliva, and if it is swallowed, though it is very little, still that will break your fast. So in case you put it, you have to spit the saliva so that nothing will go inside. This happens at time of miswak. Miswak is a dry. When they put in the mouth, then it is dry, it is okay. Then the saliva is original saliva. But in case he is talking with his colleague and he takes miswak out and then he put it again, now the miswak is wet and the saliva, when it came out, it became a foreign thing from the body. When it's put in, it will be mixed with saliva again, and then in this case it should not be swallowed. The one has to spit it out. Also, the small thing that if there are food particles in between the teeth and if somebody swallow it, that will break the fast as well. So in case anything, any meat or rice or whatever food particles remain, in case it comes out, he has to spit it out and not to swallow it. The other thing, that if somebody is not brushing his teeth and he knows that the food remaining in his teeth will be swallowed in the daytime, then his fast becomes batil, because now he knows that he is going to use certain food which will nullify his fast. So he has to brush his teeth so that nothing remains, or at least make sure that there is no food remained in his mouth that it might be swallowed or will be swallowed in the daytime. Then another subject comes about saliva. Now somebody remembers sour thing and he gets more saliva in his mouth. Whether he should spit the saliva out or he's allowed to swallow it. Well, it is said that saliva is not regarded as food or drink, and it is allowed for him to swallow his own saliva. The other thing comes here about the sputum coming out from the nose or from the chest. Eating this sputum, is it allowed or not? What is this? He said this sputum, if it goes from the throat directly swallowed, then it is okay. But if it reaches the mouth and then you swallow it, it is not allowed and it will break the fast. So if it's sputum from the nose, nasal cavity, or from chest goes directly to the throat and is swallowed, then it is okay. But if you bring it out to your mouth, then has to be, one has to spit it out and is not allowed to swallow it. Now we come to the third thing, which is nullifying the fast, sexual intercourse, which makes batil the fast of men and women, even if there is no sperm discharge. And sexual intercourse is the entry of the circumcised part of the male organ or its equivalent, even though no more of the organ enters than that. Well, that will make batil for both the husband and wife, and they should abstain at time of fasting. The fourth is masturbation. Again, masturbation for both the male and female. It will nullify the fasting. Issue 328. Whenever a person does something to himself without the intention of sperm discharge, but it is his habit that he has an orgasm by it, his fast is batil even if he does not have an orgasm. If he does not believe that the sperm will come out, and it does, then his fast is batil. This is a matrimonial case. I mean, if sometimes unintentionally similar discharge happened, because it was unintentionally and it was not his habit to get it, then his fasting is not batil. But in case he knows that if he sleep in bed with his wife, for example, he will get orgasm and he will get similar discharge, then he is not allowed to do so. And if he does, even if he control himself, but because he knows that usually he is weak and he cannot control himself, this means intentionally he is trying to do something which will nullify his fast. The fifth, intentionally attributing a false statement to God or the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to one of the infallible imams salawatullahi alayhim, or to Holy Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, according to essential ihtiyat. Now, intentionally attributing a false statement, I mean, if somebody says, and he lie, and he said that God has said in Quran this and that, and that is untrue, God has not said this, says attributing a false statement or a lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you say the Holy Prophet said such and such thing, and that is not correct, and he knows that this hadith is not correct, and he related to the Holy Prophet, now this lie by itself will break his fast, and his fast is batil. Again, if you lie for one of the Imam, you say Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said so and so, and he knows that there is no such hadith, he is just narrating a wrong hadith, or he is cooking hadith from himself. So that is an intentional lie, and that will break his fast. Again, for ihtiyat, even if he lied for the Holy Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, min all ma'sumin, that will break his fast. Now it happens by some of the students in the school. In the school they are taught certain hadith by Abu Huraira or some other narrators, and they know from the meaning that this hadith is batil. Now, he has to write it in the examination. Of course, a lie, whether it is written or said, makes no difference. Even if it is written lie about the Holy Prophet or the Imams, that also will break the fast. Now, in the exam, the teacher tell him to write such and such hadith, and he has to write it though he knows that this hadith is batil. What he will do? Naturally, if he writes the hadith that the Holy Prophet said so and so, and that is a lie, his fasting is batil, and he cannot do so. But he can overcome this problem in the exam to say, according to the book of Diniyat or book of history or whatever book he has, such and such hadith is there about the Prophet. So actually he is not himself attributing the lie, but is relating it to the book itself. So he has to do it in such a way so that he gets rid of this problem. Actually, some of the Zakirin and Ulama who used to recite majlis in the daytime of Ramadan month, they used to take the book with themselves and read from the book, for the fear that they should not relate some wrong hadith to the Imam and should not take responsibility of such a hadith. Of course, if it is done unintentionally, that is to say that I hear the hadith and I think this hadith is right, and I relate it to the Imam, and then later on I discover that this hadith is not correct, that will not break the fast because it was done unintentionally. What will break is intentional lie or intentional false statement. Okay, the sixth, delivering thick dust to one's throat, and even dust that is not thick according to ihtiyat. Whether it is halal dust like flour, or haram to eat dust like earth. Now, one of the things which break the fast is the thick dust if it reaches the throat. Now, somewhere there is dust, one has actually to close his mouth and nose by handkerchief or by hand or by something to prevent such dust from reaching his throat. So this dust will break his fast. Now again, you mentioned there is no difference whether this dust is halal to eat, like the dust of the flour. If somebody put a fan on a flour and then the flour becomes like a dust, well, to eat a flour naturally is halal, but here it will break the fast that is there. Or if it is ordinary dust of earth, and here to eat earth is haram. So both the way, whether the dust is halal or haram to eat, it will nullify the fast. And they say whether one causes the dust to rise oneself or someone else does. Now whether I will make dust by any way, or somebody else made, I mean a car is moving in an area and making too much dust, that is somebody else did, but still I have to abstain from that. And even if the dust is raised by the wind, so by any cause, if there is dust, it should be prevented from reaching the throat. And because one does not cover one's mouth or nose, the dust reaches one's throat, then the one's fast is batil. So in such cases, one has to close the nose and the mouth so that no dust should be there. Again, not only thick dust, according to Ihtiyam, Ayatollah Zulfaghani said, even if it is not thin dust, it should not reach the throat. The seventh, submerging one's head in water according to essential ihtiyat. Now, if somebody swims in a swimming pool and his head is submerged under water, that will nullify his fast. Even if he's standing beside the swimming pool and he put only his head in the water, that will break his fast. So the water should not be submerged in water. And this one is according to essential ihtiyat with Ayatollah Gulbaygani. Of course, washing the water, the head with water, with douche or otherwise, that will not nullify the fast because that is not submerging it. Washing is okay, but only submerging is not allowed. And if half the head is submerged, another half is not, again, the fasting will not be nullified because it's submerging whole of the head, which will nullify the fast. Issue 329, submerging the whole of one's head in water makes batil one's fast according to essential ihtiyat, even though the rest of the body is out of the water. As we said, if somebody is standing outside and only he submerges his head in water, that will make his fast batil, even though the rest of the body is out of the water. But if one side of one's head is submerged while the other side is not, is out of the water, and then the other side is submerged while the first side is out of the water, then there is no problem. So if he submerged half of the head at a time, then his fast is okay. But if all the head in one time, that will nullify his fast. Issue 330, if one submerges one's head in other than water, like milk or other similar liquid, the fast does not become batil, even though the ihtiyat is to refrain from doing such. And this ihtiyat also applies to compound water. Now, here it says submerging of head in water will nullify the fast. Now, if it is not water, other liquid, then he said it is not, will not break the fast, though for ihtiyat, it is better not to do so. And the compound water, or say ma' al-mudaf, like rose water, they say, or sherbet, again, have the same issue like milk, but still is better for ihtiyat not to submerge the head in that. Issue 331, if one's head is submerged in water unintentionally or is forced under by someone else, or one accidentally falls in the water, one's fast is not batil. So here all ahkam, as you see, if he does it intentionally. If it is unintentionally, then it will not break. So if somebody was walking beside the swimming pool and he falls inside. Naturally, his head will be submerged, but that is unintentionally. His fast is okay. If somebody throws someone in the water, again, that is unintentionally, still his fast is okay. The eighth, to intentionally remain in a state of impurity caused by janabat, hayd, or nifas until the dawn of a month of Ramadan fast or its qadha. Al-baqa' al-jannah.